You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for Chicago Bears news and analysis. And so today, we're diving deep on the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of their Saturday matchup with the Chicago Bears. We'll be joined by Locked On Chiefs host Ryan Tracy to really touch on some of the key matchups in this game, particularly with the starters playing so much. Of course, we'll talk about the development of Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs offense, but also the addition of Sammy Watkins there and just how vanilla we might see Andy Reid call the game on that side of the ball. And then defensively, we'll look at how they might attack the weaknesses on the Bears offensive line and how the changes in the Chiefs secondary might end up affecting some of the matchups that Matt Nagy will try and exploit, given his previous knowledge about the team. We've got plenty to get into here with our guest, so let's bring him on and get going. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Ryan Tracy. He's one of the hosts of Locked On Chiefs here on the Locked On Podcast Network. He also has a YouTube channel, RGR Football, where he breaks down all things Kansas City Chiefs. And he's the founder of Rogue Analytics, bringing you a lot of great in-depth NFL draft content there. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so we had you on first back in January when we were talking about Matt Nagy, actually before the Bears had made the decision to hire him. So let's start there. Remind us again of kind of your thoughts about him as Chiefs offensive coordinator and also more generally as a head coaching candidate as you kind of saw him go out into that world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he is the latest of the Andy Reid tree. So you know a couple of things fundamentally after having grown up in that environment is that he's going to use a lot of motion. He is looking for mismatches. Those are going to be the primary keys for him. But the interesting thing is when you look at his progression in Kansas City from you know, offensive assistant, quote unquote, that nebulous term that nobody really understands, to breaking down film, to working with Childress, to being the quarterback coach, to then stepping up into the OC. The one thing that gets lost is that not only did Reed help Alex Smith take a huge step forward in 2017 in terms of going from that middle tier kind of game manager, intermediate passer kind of safe guy to pushing the ball down the field, becoming an MVP candidate. And that had a lot to do with Matt Nagy and his proclivity to tailor play calls, not just play design, but play calls themselves to what the quarterback needs at the time. I think it's a very exciting time to be a Bears fan, if you're a Trubisky fan in particular. But just over the years, and I don't know if I shared this with you last time, but I went to high school in Schaumburg, or at least started high school before I moved. I was born in Elk Grove. I grew up a Bears fan. So I was there at 85, and I think this is still probably one of my favorite quarterbacks ever is McMahon. And I think Trubisky is a guy that may be able to grow into something that Bears fans can be proud of.
And certainly Matt Nagy is going to be the critical factor in all that. It's why they brought him in as the head coach. It's why they've kind of spent this whole offseason building around their young quarterback. And we come into this fourth preseason game for the Bears, third for the Chiefs. And the, you know, the Bears said Wednesday that they've been game planning and, you know, really utilizing it as this regular season dress rehearsal, trying to kind of get a feel for just how that process will play out when things get real here. So given Nagy's background with the Chiefs and familiarity with this roster, how much of an advantage do you think that gives him? I mean, especially in a preseason game when, you know, we're only going to see the starters for maybe the first half at most. And, you know, how much does Nagy really know about this defense in terms of, you know, some new faces are there, you know, Marcus Peters and other guys aren't there anymore. I mean, how much of an advantage do you think this could be?
You know, he still does have a bit of an advantage just because he's practiced against some of them, particularly some of the Chiefs' weaker points on defense happen to be the safeties, especially with Eric Berry hurt. But also, yes, there are new faces at corner, but they're guys that he's coached against quite a bit. In Dave Amerson playing over on one side, and Steven Nelson, who's been with the Chiefs for a while, he's familiar with him. The wild card is going to be Kendall Fuller, who is having an excellent preseason. He's really even taken a step forward from last season when he was, I think, PFF's number six ranked corner. And I think that gives him some options. The linebackers are different, but the pass rush is going to be the same. He's going to have that advantage in knowing, being familiar, but not being certain.
Do you think the advantage comes more with knowing the weaknesses of the defense, or being able to know so many of the nuances of the offense, and especially, you know, he worked with Patrick Mahomes, he kind of knows what makes him tick, or does Andy Reid's then knowledge of what Nagy's going to kind of do neutralize that?
I think it's pretty much a neutral endeavor. They both know each other very well. And if this were a regular season game, I would say maybe the edge goes to Reed, because in understanding how to take advantage of the offense, Nagy has to communicate that to a coordinator, who has to then disseminate that down to position coaches, who then have to get it to the players. And that's sometimes a chain that isn't as immediate as you can be as the play caller on the offensive side. But in a preseason game, I think they're both still very much concerned with getting out of it without injuries. While they may game plan, I don't think they're going to be trying to go for the throat or do anything that puts their players in any kind of position to, take a chance, really.
The Bears are still trying to figure out a little bit of their interior offensive line combination. And from what I've seen, seems like Chris Jones there on the Chiefs defense has had a pretty strong preseason. Do you think he's the main standout on that side of the ball? And if so, I mean, how has he stood out?
I don't know if he's the main standout. He is part of right now a two-man tandem with Justin Houston. Both of them are successful pass rushers, have been traditionally. And I think this is a chance with the return of Dee Ford, who had an elongated back injury last season. He looks to have been healthy all through camp to this point. They have a couple of young guys that are rotating there too. So I think it alleviates some of the ability of offensive lines to concentrate just on Houston and Jones, because there is a third pass rusher that's out there that at least needs a little bit of attention. But I will say this, that around Chiefs Kingdom, there is a lot of enthusiasm about what kind of step Chris Jones can take forward this season. We've seen him in training camp take a much larger leadership role within his position group and with the defense as a whole. And he is a guy that is talented physically in a way that is difficult to deal with, especially, you know, you're still running white hair at center, correct? And is he still having some struggles?
He's having issues snapping the ball, but he's been fine in pass protection. And then they're doing some rotating at left guard.
Okay. Well, both of those positions are going to see a good bit of Chris Jones. And they are running – the Chiefs are shifted even more out of their base. Last year they ran, I think it was nickel and dime, four-man front. They ran 63% of the time. I expect that to be closer to 70 probably. So there's going to be a lot of three technique in there. A lot of gap penetration is what they're trying to shift towards. So we will see what he can do, in particularly against those two positions that seem to be the struggle point for the Bears right now.
And, you know, it's a shame we're not doing a Blue Chew ad read this week, because Chris Jones is probably the perfect player to transition to that. You may recall the 2016 NFL Combine, at the end of his 40-yard dash, Chris Jones like fell over and had that wardrobe malfunction where his, you know, nether regions were exposed on national television. And who better to transition to an ad for Blue Chew than that? But of course, we do not have that today for you. So without that convenience, I'll just tease what's coming up next on Locked On Bears. We're breaking down all things Kansas City Chiefs, finishing up with this Chiefs defense and what could be coming from their pass rush in general. And then we'll get to the Chiefs offense, what we're going to see from Sammy Watkins, how vanilla they just might be on that side of the ball. And we wrap up with maybe the most common storyline here, the development of Patrick Mahomes. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. We're here with Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs, previewing Saturday's game. Ryan, just kind of more generally, how has the pass rush overall been for the Chiefs this preseason? I know, you know, with Justin Houston being such a veteran, he doesn't play a ton of snaps in these games, but maybe we'll see a little bit more. But even without him and these backups, just going to the second and third tier, how well have the Chiefs gotten after the quarterback?
You know, I think the best way to put it is a lot of smoke without a whole lot of fire yet. They have second year Tano Passanio, who was a down wide nine defensive end technique, making that transition to outside linebacker. He has made some strides, and he is a physically imposing person, 6'7", probably the biggest wingspan I've ever seen on a defensive end. And he's still learning to use that from a stand-up position and the quickness and the hand fighting that he needs to develop. But we are seeing some progression. The rookie Breland Speaks out of Ole Miss is an interesting one as well. He does not come built in with what you would call an edge rusher's bend and speed. He is not a fast cornering first step kind of guy. His game plays from power first and foremost, but he is a guy who, unlike Tano Passanio, has played off the ball in college, so much so they even lined him up at middle linebacker from time to time. He can rush from a variety of positions. He can play as a down lineman in the four-man front if he has to. He can even move inside. So I think what you're going to see is they'll probably try him out on a number of different spots to see what they can find in terms of getting a foothold on his pass rush. But again, it's a lot of power, a lot of pushing the pocket without really getting home yet. So that's actually one of the key points that I'll be watching in this ballgame.
What about this inside linebacker position? Because I know Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens, they've been kind of banged up sometimes at different points, sometimes at the same time. But I was reading where there's some idea that they could potentially both be back in time to play in this game. You know, the Bears have been throwing a lot to their tight ends and trying to get those matchups in the middle of the field this preseason. So if Ragland and Hitchens are back, or maybe even if they're not, how have these Chiefs inside linebackers more generally held up in coverage, and how exploitable are they for this Bears offense?
You know, that's going to be a very interesting thing to see. Hitchens and Ragland have not played to this point, especially together. And they are saying that at this point they feel that they're healthy, that game three is enough of a priority that they're going to try to get them out there together. You're going to see some rust on both of them. They both have had nagging injuries through camp, and this is one of those things where the entire emphasis of the Chiefs offseason was to bolster the run defense, to get tougher, to get nastier, and both those guys are key components of that concept. Reggie Ragland in particular felt embarrassed after the playoff loss to the Titans, which is one thing that he kind of takes personally. He is not the uber athletic type nickel linebacker. In fact, you may see him more than likely this season come off in third downs. But he is a guy that prides himself. He's dropped about 12 pounds in this offseason in an effort to get quicker, to be able to stay on the field longer and play better in coverage. While as Hitchens is a guy that's naturally pretty good in the zone, tracking some of the smaller backs is going to be difficult for him. But he's a veteran of enough years to understand where his deficiencies are, and he's generally able to make up for them. They both are attacking the run quite a bit. So that's really what they're for. And the Chiefs are platooning at this point. They bring in Akeme Oligwe after the two of them, and he is a much smaller, more nimble linebacker. He is more the nickel set, a will, maybe even light for a will. But he can play pass coverage better than the run. And then they have the rookie Dorian O'Daniel, who they're still listing as a linebacker, although I think his role will be somewhere in that nickel linebacker to strong safety dimension. He can cover some slot receivers. And Dorian O'Daniel is going to be the matchup that the Chiefs want to get on tight ends that they feel like they need to corral. And beyond that, the story of the preseason on the defensive side of the ball is a young linebacker out of Iowa named Ben Neiman. And against the Falcons, you might have seen he had the kind of the highlight reel for the defense, a 29-yard pick six right over the middle. A guy that can sit down, is athletic, has some quickness. Again, not the best man cover, especially for the shiftier type third down back, but a guy that's going to be solid in there, and they are going to have to have the ability to press him and get separation off of a cut. And I'll see what happens with the tight ends. Are they still hurting it in terms of depth at the moment?
So their second round pick from last year, Adam Shaheen, is out for the at least immediate future. But other than that, they're sitting pretty good depth wise there.
Okay, I saw Shaheen. So who will they run at the Chiefs the most?
As far as from the backfield?
No,
which
tight ends?
Oh, Trey Burton will be the main guy from the pass-catching standpoint. Deion Sims more of the, you know, the traditional Y blocking inline tight end. But then Daniel Brown is kind of the backup pass catcher flex tight end, sort of in that Zach Miller role. And he's had a pretty good preseason so far. So they've got a few different options to throw at in the passing game.
Well, it sounds like he'll be the person that we'll see match up against both Neiman and probably O'Daniel, and that will be pretty telling. I'm looking forward to that matchup.
And you mentioned there earlier that the emphasis was on stopping the run, or at least improving the run defense this offseason. How well have you seen them kind of improve that? Because the Bears have not run the ball well at all this preseason and pretty well abandoned it in a few of these preseason games so far.
You know, it's been a process. It's been a bit hit or miss, but against the Falcons, obviously they were not seeing Devontae Freeman, but they stood up a bit better, and this is without their starting linebackers. So it's basically been on the front four the entire time. They are getting some better pressure for a guy who was kind of a journeyman, Xavier Williams. They brought him in this year to replace Benny Logan, who had, you know, thought to have been very stout against the run, but didn't pan out that way in 2017. And Williams is making an impact against the run. If they can get to the second level in this game, especially after Hitchens and Raglan leave the field, the Bears might find some room to run there, but it's not going to be like the good old days.
Well, you know, since we mentioned Reggie Raglan, he, of course, is a product of Alabama. And we recently just added Locked On Bama to the Locked On Podcast Network as part of the launch of our college sports portion of the network. So we have Locked On Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, and BYU all launched right now with plenty more on the way. So if you're a fan of any of those schools, I highly recommend you go check out Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever podcast app you use. The Locked On Podcast Network is getting into college sports. It's college football. It's college baseball. It's your favorite school all year long with more daily news and analysis of those teams, because the Locked On Podcast Network is all about your team every day.
Well, again, we're talking Kansas City Chiefs here with Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs, and I want to switch gears now to this Chiefs offense, because the Bears have really been struggling to find a pass rush this preseason. How have you seen the Chiefs offensive line hold up, and where might that weakness be up front when it comes to pass protection?
The weakness is clearly in the A-gaps. I know what Floyd is still hurting, right? Did he have a surgery? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, he broke his hand and had surgery, but he can still play with a club, but they probably just won't during the preseason.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and he'd be facing what is probably the strength of the Chiefs offensive line in the tackles. Two experienced guys on either side that maybe not quite as athletic as they were a season ago. Schwartz in particular is just not quite as quick. Again, I think he gained some weight in order to try and help in the run game, so we'll see what comes of that. But clearly, the journeyman position right now is the left guard spot. And what we're seeing at the moment, and what I think the Bears are likely to see, is that Cam Irving, formerly of the Browns, that Brett Veach pulled that trade for last season, is slotted as at the starter at this point. They have a couple of late-round picks that they've tried to kind of cycle through there, and they just haven't found anyone to stick yet. So Andy Reid, and I'm sure Matt Nagy's probably had this come out of his mouth this preseason too, is that the best five are going to play, period.
Yep.
They don't care if you're a tackle or a guard. If you're athletic and you can do the job, you'll get playing time. The only hiccup on the other side is that starting guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the guy who just got his MD. Yeah, great story. But clearly he's a guy who's aware of injuries, and he went into the concussion protocol just like the second or third day from the end of camp. He just hit the practice field for a walkthrough today as we're recording this, and not sure, don't think he'll play against the Bears, not sure when he'll be back. So his backup is Andrew Wiley, who was previously listed, as the Chiefs' second backup left tackle. So like I said, they don't care what position you play. If you're athletic and you can do what you want, what they want you to do, they'll put you in. So Wiley moves from backup left tackle into starting right guard in LDT's absence. And you'll see Parker Iger, who is the backup right tackle, come in relief of Cam Irving at left guard. So it will be topsy-turvy. I don't know if they're trying to limit the reps in particular of any of them. Andy Reid has said that the starters will play into the third quarter. So I think we'll just have to see what the rotation turns out to be.
And just curious, does Andrew Wiley happen to be related to the Browns offensive line coach of Hard Knocks fame now, Bob Wiley?
Not that I'm aware of. I've had several questions about that, and I haven't researched farther than where he went to school, so I can't tell you for certain. If so, though, he's got quite a personality in there.
Yeah, it's a shame if he's not. But, you know, I look at this Chiefs offense, and obviously the addition of Sammy Watkins is quite a weapon in there to mix in with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. How have you seen Watkins fit into the Chiefs offense so far? I mean, I know they're still pretty vanilla, but, you know, like, I compare it to, like, the Bears, where Allen Robinson hasn't caught a pass yet, and they haven't really been using Tariq Cohen either. So where are the Chiefs winning through the air right now?
You know, they're taking it very, very vanilla as well. Sammy's looked better in practice than he has in the two preseason games. I think what he's come up against is that the level of expectation and the level of coaching that he's experienced in Kansas City is far above what he's been used to. The details are the thing that Andy Reid keeps harping on, in the way that he runs his routes, the way that he tops them off in particular, especially in the red zone. He's had a couple of opportunities that he's let slip through his hands just by not finishing off a route against a given DB and allowing them to catch up and get in at the catch point. So it's been a little bit discouraging for a guy that's making $16 million a season. But what they haven't seen is they've pretty much allowed one really deep pass, and I think everybody saw that last week,
yeah,
to Tyreek Hill, and that's really the only thing they've let him do. They have not sent Sammy very much into those deep routes, and he's another guy that can stretch the defense. I don't really expect to see a whole lot of deep passing against the Bears either, but if they do, it may be Sammy's turn to be the guy who gets a rep at that.
And maybe I was burying the lead here a little bit, but throughout all of this, the obvious storyline is Patrick Mahomes. How has he been kind of now in his first preseason as the quote-unquote starter? Obviously has a year under his belt in the system, and Matt Nagy knows what to expect from him. But, you know, it's preseason, small sample size, don't want to extrapolate too much, but early impressions of Patrick Mahomes year two?
Well, first of all, thank you for bearing the lead. It's all I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. And for good reason. Obviously, what we saw against Atlanta is that his arm is exceptional, to the point that this preseason pass he threw last week, nobody threw a pass farther for a touchdown, at least, in the air last season in all of the NFL. So you can put him right up there amongst the elite arm talent. But he struggles, and he still has a propensity to throw just silly interceptions where he either doesn't see a player at all, which happens fairly regularly across the middle, or just gets caught up in the moment and trying to deliver a play in order to get to the next play that he stares somebody down. And that's what we saw last week against the interception he threw. But overall, what we have consistently seen is that when he does make mistakes, Patrick Mahomes is a kid that listens to his coaching, understands the game well enough to learn from his mistakes. We haven't seen him do the same thing twice in any contest yet, both the regular season finale against the Denver Broncos last season or either of these preseason games. So I find that encouraging myself, but it's certainly a kid that realizes he's in the spotlight. He is comfortable being a leader. He has gravitated toward his targets, his weapons, and is developing that chemistry. And I'm fairly impressed with how well he's developed chemistry across, you know, what are five targets for him in just a preseason. He stayed in Kansas City all summer and organized workouts with the receivers on his own time, very much stepped into the veteran role in terms of leadership outside of the building. And I find that encouraging as well. The Chiefs are very high on him, and I think most of the fan base is as well.
Well, one of the guys that the Bears fan base was pretty high on last year, I don't know how much insight you'll be able to have on him, but Daniel Braverman at the bottom of that wide receiver depth chart, he has a particularly big fan club in Chicago still. I noticed he played in that first game against the Texans, but didn't really get a ton of playing time and then didn't play at all against the Falcons. Has he been hurt at all, or is it just bottom of the depth threat wide receiver not really making much of a wiggle?
You know, I'll tell you this. I was at camp for 3 days straight, and he made some great catches. I think his routes have improved in this last season, but he unfortunately is in a position that he is at literally the most stacked position on this roster. And you have the top three are locked in with Hill, Watkins, and Chris Conley. DeMarcus Robinson is a guy that's made a lot of noise. Then they have special teams aces in DeAnthony Thomas and J.U. Chesson, who Dave Tobe, and I know Bears fans understand like how important Dave Tobe's choices are to the final roster. And he has singled those two out. So I think Braverman is just fighting an uphill battle against a lot of talent and a lot of experience.
So just to wrap up here, maybe you already gave me at least one of these with Ben Neiman, but can you give me a player on offense and defense that no one that follows the Chicago Bears will ever have heard of, but they should keep an eye on for this game?
One guy to watch on offense will be number 82, Alex Ellis. He's a backup tight end, and because the Chiefs basically keep kind of a guy that's a bigger blocker type for their second, although we can have a whole different argument about that. But Ellis is a guy that can mirror some of the things that Travis Kelce does athletically. He's not as big, he's not as fast, but he's not a second-tier athleticism type tight end like we've seen in years past. Look for him, especially in the second half, to make some noise. He's been getting open and getting separation. He runs nice routes, and I think he's a guy that is likely playing himself onto this roster. And then on the defense, Neiman obviously is a definite choice, but in the secondary, you're going to see 39, a corner named Tremont Smith out of a small school that is just chirpy and athletic and intense and realizes that there is an opportunity for him there with kind of a interesting journeyman set of corners that he is fighting for playing time. The Chiefs just signed Orlando Scandrick. I don't know that you're going to see him play a lot, so you are going to see Tremaine Smith, and that's going to be number 39 out there.
Well, Ryan, your Chiefs analysis is second to none here. I encourage everyone who wants more on the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of this preseason game to go check out the Locked On Chiefs podcast, but also check out RGR Football on YouTube for some video content breaking down the red and white, I guess. What type of red do the Chiefs claim to? You know, everyone uses their own shade of red. What's the Chiefs' red?
You know, it's more of a crimson, and crimson. They like to refer to the yellow as gold.
Ah, crimson. So the crimson and gold on YouTube there. Also, check out Ryan's draft work with Rogue Analytics and follow him on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL. Ryan, really appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks again to Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs for joining us on Locked On Bears today. If you enjoyed our conversation and really feel ready to go for Saturday's Bears-Chiefs preseason game, be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast so you can keep coming back, automatically get our daily Chicago Bears episodes right to your phone, right to your device, however it is you listen to Locked On Bears. The podcast is there for you to subscribe to and to keep tuning in for your daily dose. As always, we'll come at you on Monday after the game with everything we learned from this fourth preseason game, preseason week 3 dress rehearsal game. Like we said, we're going to see a lot of starters in this game. Should give us a nice little glimpse of just how these pieces are going to start to come together. We'll break down the winners and losers, the risers and fallers, and all that great stuff early next week on the podcast. And then as the first deadline for roster cuts starts to loom, we'll talk about the guys that are likely gone before this 75-man roster cut down, and slowly we get closer to the 53 before the Bears wrap up the preseason next week already. It's really been going fast. You know, it sucks that the time without football seems to go slow, and now that it's finally back, the preseason is blowing by. The regular season is almost here. Locked On Bears will be here through it all, bringing you that daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. I really appreciate everyone that keeps tuning in. The loyal listeners have been great. And like I teased at the end of the last episode, want to get your thoughts during, before, and after this Bears-Chiefs game on the Locked On Bears voicemail line. Want to hear from you, the listeners, and get you more involved in the show. So at any point before, during, and after this Kansas City Chiefs game, if you have questions, you have reactions, you name it, you want to be heard, give us a call at the Locked On Bears voicemail line, 312-620-8590. Again, 312-620-8590 is the way to reach us. And I hope to be hearing from plenty of you guys this weekend, because should be a fun game to watch between a coach and his former mentor, the Matt Nagy revenge game, Trubisky versus Mahomes. So many storylines in this one for a preseason contest. Should be fun. Should be a great opportunity to bear down.